All right. Well, it's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing because we get an opportunity. We are your missionaries to Zacatecas, and so we get an opportunity to report back to you and let you know what God's been doing down in Mexico. But also, we want to come back to thank you for the way that you guys have not only been praying for us and supporting us over the years, but also you guys have taken up special love offerings for us to help us to finish the church building, to help us even in the children's home with the kids. And to us, it's a great blessing. And it's our privilege to be representing you. As your pastor said, it is your responsibility to reach all of this world with the gospel. Well, you can't get up tomorrow and take off of work and go down to Mexico. But by your faithfulness back home, you allow us to be doing what it is that God's called us to do. And we certainly want you to know that we're thankful for you. And thank you for your sacrifice back home. If you have your Bibles, we'll go to the book of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And we'll look at a verse of scripture. Just one verse of scripture in Matthew chapter 13. And once you've found your place, if you'll stand, and if I'm too loud or too soft, just adjust it, brother. All right, Matthew chapter 13. I'll go ahead and read verse number 58, and if you just want to follow along, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Actually, I'll back up a little bit to verse number 57. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 57. And the Word of God says, "And they were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you. We thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for the way that you've not only blessed us down in Mexico, but what a blessing it is to come here and to see your house filled this morning. See the way that you're blessing Gospel Light Baptist Church, Father, and the way that you're blessing the lives of individuals. And Lord God, I just pray, Father, that you would continue to help each and every one of us to stay in your path, to stay in your will, Father, that we might be honorable to you, that we might be usable, Father, and most of all, that you can, from our lives, receive all the glory that you deserve. Father, I pray that you'll bless your word now, in this moment, and give us what it is that you have for us. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. This portion of scripture, of course, is referring to our Lord Jesus Christ, and as you know, as he walked through this life, he had the opportunity there to heal people physically, to preach. He preached the gospel. And here, leaving from this village, it's very curious that verse number 58 exists, saying that he did not do many mighty works. Verse number 58 says, "And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." The reason that they did not see the hand of God, the reason that they did not see the mighty power of God in this city was due to one reason, and it's in that verse, because of their own unbelief. All the power that they needed was found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I encourage you this morning that all the power that you need to see God do something great in your life is found in the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. And all the power that you need and that I need to see our lives and our families transformed for Christ and to see God begin to do something, all of it's available in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think a lot of times you and I, for the exact same reason, we don't see the mighty hand of God. We don't see God working. We don't see God doing things that we look at in the scripture and you say, wow, look at how God worked there and look at how God did this work in the life of this person. And why is it not the same nowadays? Can I tell you, it might not be the same nowadays because we're committing this exact same sin, which is the sin of unbelief. Saying, well, God, I know you can do it, but I don't think necessarily you will do it. You and I, folks, ought to step out by faith. Everything that we do ought to be by faith. And so here you see this verse of scripture, and I think maybe even Peter in the next chapter, if you would turn with me to the next chapter of chapter 14, and we'll look at another portion of scripture. Chapter 14, look at verse number 25. This is a familiar portion of scripture here, but it seems almost to me like Peter's trying to put this faith into action, like you and I ought to. Familiar portion of scripture, Matthew chapter 14. Let me read verse number 25. It says, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the water, on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Looking at this portion of scripture, it almost is like we receive in chapter 13, the reason that they did not see God doing many mighty works was because of their own belief, or because of their own unbelief. And then in the very next chapter, you see Peter trying to put his belief into action, trying to take the lesson from chapter 13 and put it into action in his life. And no doubt you've heard this story. And you see here that Peter is stepping out by faith, and they see the Lord Jesus Christ off at a distance. And at first they get afraid. At first they say, what is this? It's a spirit. But then they figure out that it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter, among all of the disciples, gets an idea. He says, man, I'd like to walk on water. I know that in the last city, my Lord Jesus Christ did not many mighty works because of their own unbelief. I'd like to believe that God could just do something. Amen. How many of you and I here this morning would like to believe that God can still do something in our families? Amen. That God can still do something in our life. That God can take out some sort of addiction or some sort of something that ought not to be in your life as a child of God. And you want to believe that God can still do it. Can I tell you what? He can do it. Amen. If we'll be willing to surrender ourselves and say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to get through. But one thing I know is you can do it, and I'm going to step out by faith. I'd like to preach just real briefly about the next step farther. In the life of every Christian, we ought to be taking steps to grow into the image of Christ. Every day we ought to be taking steps to be conformed to the image of Christ. That things ought to begin to get different in our life. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So that gives us the idea that there's steps that we should be taking. But what happens many times is this. Instead of taking those steps, we get to a point where we become content, satisfied in our Christian life. And we say, well, I'm reading my Bible every day. I go to church on Sunday. I do this and I do this. And we get to the point where we become content where we're at. But can I explain to you one thing? God desires for us to have more faith today than we had yesterday. God desires for us to do more for Him than we did in this year than we did last year. He desires for us to take that step of faith and to step out and do more and to look for ways to serve. Even here in your local church, look for ways to serve and take that next step of faith. I want to look real briefly at a couple of things about this faith that you and I, if you want to see, you know, a lot of people criticize Peter. You probably heard that. I imagine that the disciples who stayed in the ship, they looked out at Peter and they saw him sinking and say, wow, what a failure. He didn't make it. Hey, can I tell you what? The Bible says he did walk on water. Amen? Hey, that's more than those guys who stayed back in the boat did. He stepped out by faith. He stepped out believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He stepped out and he did something and he allowed God to receive the glory because he knew it wasn't him that made him walk on water. It was the Lord. It'll look real briefly, if you would, about this faith that it need, that we need in our life. If you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12 and go over to Hebrews chapter 12. And you can hold your place there in Matthew. I should have told you that ahead of time. Amen. But you can hold your place in Matthew. We might be going back there. Hebrews chapter 12. The first thing I noticed about the faith of Peter is that he looked forward by faith. The disciples, listen, the disciples, where were they? All of them were in the boat. And no doubt, many of them probably up there, and they were looking out to see Jesus out there walking on the water. And instead of Peter looking back to the disciples and seeing what the other disciples were doing, he looked out and he looked to Jesus. Amen? So he looked forward by faith. Hebrews chapter 12, look if you would, we'll look at verse number 2. We'll look at verse number 1 and verse number 2. It says, wherefore seeing we have also, and seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Look at verse number 2. Looking unto who? Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse number 2 says, looking forward to Jesus. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Do you know that you and I, when we get to those moments of decision, whether we're going to go on for Christ or whether we're going to go back to the world, you know what we ought to do? Keep looking forward to Jesus. Amen? Look forward to Jesus. You know what he did not do, Peter did not do? He didn't look back to the other disciples to say, well, are they going to ask to walk on water? Are they going to do something? He didn't look back. You know what a lot of us do in church nowadays? We look at people around us and we say, well, you know, I know we have time to go out and knock on doors and to hand out gospel tracts and invite people to the house of God. It would be easy for us to sit around and look at everybody else. Well, who else goes? Amen? Peter didn't do that. Amen? He didn't turn around and look and he says, well, brother so-and-so doesn't go and sister so-and-so doesn't go. Why would I go? No, Peter wanted to see the hand of God. He wanted to see the power of God. He wanted to see something that was out of the ordinary. But you know what it required? It required faith. Amen? The same way is with you and I, if we want to see God do something great, instead of looking back to others and saying, well, they're not doing it, and they have no desire to do it, and look around, and we covered it in this morning in the class of the teens, the Bible says if we compare ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise. Amen? So Peter didn't look back, and he didn't look around to see what everybody else was doing. He stepped out by faith. By faith. What a blessing. He didn't look back at other believers. He didn't look back to his past failures. I'm sure for many of us in here, you could probably look back and say, well, Brother Brian, we're not related, but I'm Brother Brian last name, Brother Brian first name, amen. Brother Brian, you have no idea what kind of lifestyle I used to live. Aren't you glad I don't need to know? Amen. If you've been saved by the grace of God, if there's been a time when you've come to the grace of God and you've cried out to him and you asked him for salvation, he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? And it would be easy for the devil to convince us to look back at our past and to say, God can't use you. He might be able to use brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. He can't use you. Can I tell you what? That's a lie of the devil. Amen? Amen. When God forgave us, He cleansed us, He gave us the Holy Spirit, and He gave that to us so that we could go on and see His mighty works. Amen. So don't believe the devil when he comes up to you. Don't look back at the other believers and see what they're doing. Just step out by faith. Amen. Don't look back at your past and your failures. I'll tell you another thing. Don't look back to your past victories either. You say, what are you talking about? There are some people that say, well, I used to go soul winning. I used to pick up so-and-so for church. I used to do this. I used to do this. Don't look back to that. God desires for us today to step out by faith and to do what it is that He's called us to do. So the first thing you see there is that Peter, he looked forward by faith. The second thing, if you go with me over to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. We'll look at verse number 62. Luke chapter 9 and verse number 62. The second thing you see, and we'll see it here in a second, is that he actually had to let go of that boat. He had to let go by faith. Luke chapter 9, look at verse number 62 if you would. Luke chapter 9, verse number 62 says this, "And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." There is talking about you and I have to let go of some things in our life and grab a hold of the work of God. Amen? It's easy for us. We've been, before you come to Christ, there's some things that you and I have been holding on to for years. Amen. Nobody wants to admit it, but I'll admit it for all of us. There are certain things that you've been holding on to, and that's a place of comfort. There's some things that you're comfortable doing. There's other things you're not comfortable doing. And it's easy for us to want to hold on to that place of comfort. You know what a place of comfort was for Peter? That boat. Amen. Hey, the Bible says that the winds were blowing and the waves were tossing round about. And you know what? For him to be able to see the mighty works of God, he had to not only get out on the side of that boat. A lot of times we think the boat that he just walked out like this, but that boat was up high and he had to get out and was probably holding on to the side of it like this. And it took him letting go before he could see the blessing of being able to walk on water. There's a place of comfort for each of us that we might just have to let go of. Some people, we'll go back to talking to people about the great salvation that we have in Christ. There's not a better message found on this earth than the message of the Lord Jesus Christ to save souls, to just whosoever will, that He's willing to save. But a lot of us, and boy, it happens from all the way from the pulpit all the way to the back. A lot of us allow that flesh, we allow that fleshly spirit of ours to make us nervous to hand out a gospel tract. Make us nervous inviting someone to the house of God. To make us nervous to do what it is that God's called us to do. And you and I, folks, we ought to step out by faith and let go of that comfortable place. That comfortable place is maybe just coming to the house of God and hearing the word of God. And I would encourage you, don't quit doing that, amen? But can I tell you what God desires for us? To grow in our faith. He doesn't desire for us just to stay where we're at. He desires for us to do more in this new year that's coming up than in last year. But it will require you and I to let go of a couple of things in our life that might not be pleasing to Him. The most easiest thing probably would be our comfort zone. But it could be that you have some sin that you're guarding in your heart, that you're holding on to, and that's keeping you from doing what it is that God's called you to do. Can I tell you what? Peter had to let go of it before he could see God do great things through his life. I believe that God desires to use His children. Amen? Not just your pastor, not just the men and the ladies of God that are here, but I believe for every child of God, if you've come to His grace, I believe and I know, according to Scripture, He desires to use you to shine for Him. Amen? What a blessing it is to be representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you're a child of God, God desires to use you. But you know what we have to do? let go of some things and say, you know what, Brother Johnston, I'm not comfortable knocking on doors, but I know the Bible tells me that I ought to be concerned about souls. And I know that the Lord God Almighty was concerned about souls. And so even though I'm not comfortable doing it, even though I don't know what to say, even though I don't know the words, you know what? I'm going to be there. Would you help me? Amen. Whatever it is, you say, well, I already go knocking on doors. Whatever it is that God's laid upon your heart, it could be that the next step for you is a step of baptism. Amen. Now, we understand baptism doesn't save. It's by the grace of God that we're saved. We understand that. But can I tell you what? That might be your next step to step. You say, well, I'm comfortable the way I am. I'm already saved. Amen. But can I tell you what? God desires for us to step out by faith and say, Lord, what is it? What's the next step that you would have for me? Look at another thing, if you would. If you got your Bibles there, go with me to Colossians chapter 2. We'll look at two more things briefly. Colossians chapter 2. Look at this. The next thing you notice is that he actually didn't just look forward by faith. Amen. But here in this verse, you can actually see that he walked by faith. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse number 6, if you would. It says, as you have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So how is it that we receive Christ Jesus the Lord? By faith. There's not a one of us here that's going to deserve to be in heaven someday. There's not a one of us here that's going to say, well, I was a pretty good person. And I think because God's going to see everything good that I've done, he's going to look at all these things and going to say, well, that was a good person. You know what? I'll let you come in. Not a one of us will make it to heaven by the good that we have done. But it's by the good that he has done. It's not by the things that you and I do, but it's because of what he did on the cross of Calvary. It's not because of our faithfulness to him, but it's because of his faithfulness to us through his word. Amen. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so you and I understand that. And the Bible here says that we're saved by faith. But look what it says in the verse one more time. Verse number 6, I think it was. It says, and as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. How did we receive him? By what? By faith. How should we walk? It says, so walk ye in him. You know what it's saying there? You and I ought to walk in the same way. Hey, our faith doesn't keep us saved, amen? But the Bible says that God doesn't only desire for us to get saved by faith, but he desires for us, being saved by faith, to continue to walk in faith. Amen? Do you know what that means? Allowing him to mold us when we don't understand. Amen? Allowing him to change us. And when we start to see a bad attitude maybe that slips up in our life, or we start to see something that is ungodly or something that's contrary to the word of God, we ought to allow him by faith, allow him to mold us and to direct us and to divert us to doing and being what it is that he's called us to be. But that's a process that comes by faith. Amen. Faith to say, God, I'm comfortable doing this, but I know you want me to do this. By faith, I'm going to do what it is that you've called me to do. Let me explain one other thing. This is different for each one of us. Your next step of faith may be completely different from my next step of faith. God, by the grace of God, amen, he's dealing with each one of us individually. But if you're saved by the grace of God, you have the Holy Spirit of God already, amen? And that Holy Spirit of God will tell you what your next step is. Amen? But the principles are the same here. He walked by faith. You sit back and you say, well, but he sank. We'll cover that in just a second. He sank and he went down, but can I tell you what? He walked by faith. He walked on that water. Amen? And boy, I'm sure at the first, the disciples were just amazed and they saw it and they said, wow, I wish I had been Peter. I wish I had asked to walk on that water. I wish I had stepped out by faith. I wish I had been going to the master to see what he could do. Can I tell you what? There's Christians that turn around and they look at somebody else And they say, why does God bless him so? Why does he have such blessings for her? Why does it look like that family's just blessed and God is just all over that family? Can I tell you what? It may be because they've stepped out by faith and that they're walking by faith. Can I explain to you this? God desires that for each one of his children. Those of you who have more than one children, or more than one child. Yeah, brother, you got seven children, is that correct? Amen. Which one's your favorite? Uh-huh. All of them, amen? Same way with the Lord. He didn't say, well, you know, I just love Brother Johnston. I'm just going to bless his family. Your family? No. But Brother Johnston, God's not like that. The same way that he loves every one of his children, our Heavenly Father loves every one of us. But he's waiting for that obedience. He's waiting for that child to step out by faith and just say, God, I want to be used of you. I'm not comfortable, but I want to be obedient. I want to take that next step that you have for me. Lord God, please use me. And boy, you'll see that the Lord is just waiting to bless you. Look at the last thing, if you would. Not only are we saved by faith, so the Bible says that we ought to walk daily by faith. Look at the last thing, if you would. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 1558. It says there, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, the last thing about Peter is that he continued by faith. Even when he began to sink, he had two options. He could have tried to run back to the boat. Most of us, that's probably what we would have done, right? We know the boat's there. It's floating as of right now. And we would try to run back to the boat. Or he could have run to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he cried out by faith. He said, Lord, save me. You know what? This Christian life, sometimes there'll be times when you're going to fail him. There's going to be times when your lack of faith is going to affect the way that things are going in your life. But can I tell you what? Just as quickly as the Lord Jesus Christ was ready to help Peter, he's ready to help you. But you've got that two options. You can run back to your place of comfort. You can run back to your place where you know how things work. You can run back to the world. You can run back to a supposedly comfortable lifestyle. Or in lieu of that, you can turn to the Savior and say, God, save me. Help me. Give me what I need because I want to keep going on for you. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says he stretched forth his hand. I imagine that the Lord Jesus, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say amen, I'm imagining here. I imagine that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't physically lift him up. I bet when he just touched the hands of Jesus, he just, amen? Hey folks, God desires to work in your life. He desires to work in your family's life. He desires to do great things. But if you remember the first verse that we covered, the Bible says he did not many mighty works there. But why? Because of their unbelief. It could be that this morning you have a bit of unbelief. Could be that maybe it's just a little bit of unbelief saying, well, I know what you're saying, Brother Brian. I know what you're saying and I know that's biblical, but you have no idea the situation that I'm going through. You have no idea. Can I tell you what? There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Amen. But it requires a child to step out by faith and say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know what means you're going to use to do it. But one thing I want to do as one of your children, I want to step out by faith so that I can see what it is you want to do in my life. However it is that God's laid upon your heart, whatever it is, your step of faith may be different from the person sitting beside you. But each one of us should make that step.